Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you here on this Tuesday, August 24th, 2021. 14 minutes past the hour, and it is another lazy, hazy dog day of August, and it looks like it's going to be that way all week through the end of the week. What a week it's going to be. I think they are saying for this area, this is the hottest week of the year. So if we can get through this one, we should be okay, and it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for the humidity. The humidity is just awful. Absolutely awful outside. But we'll get through it. That's summer in Ohio. Now here we are on Tuesday morning, and I wanted to open up the phone lines because there are a lot of interesting things to talk about right now going on. You know, as we talk about COVID, as this goes on, it's becoming a larger conversation with the Popcorn Festival coming up and schools being back open. I'm starting to notice that some of the schools that do not have mask mandates are sending home letters saying that kids have been infected. Now, some of the kids are being infected at home. It's very interesting. And also, here we are, on the heels yesterday of the Pfizer vaccine becoming FDA approved. For a long time, there was a conversation on, well, the vaccine is not FDA approved, and that's why we cannot mandate it, and that's why maybe it's not safe. Well, as of yesterday, the FDA has approved the Pfizer vaccine. Now, does anybody make anything of any of this? It's kind of an interesting question, because things are starting to change now. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That was a big conversation yesterday. Oh, and I got to tell you about the tomatoes, the tomato plant at home. Now, yesterday, well, really the last couple weeks, I've started to notice that my tomatoes are getting red. Now, not all of them, but a couple of them, maybe two or three, were starting to get red. But I did not want to pick them because I didn't feel like they were fully ripe yet. So, last night, Angie came over, and she went outside, and she brought in the tomatoes and said that I had left them out there too long. And I said, well, what do you mean I've left them out there too long? Because remember, I'm new at this. I have not ever grown a tomato plant in my life that I ever remember. So she brought in the tomato to show me that this red tomato had a big hole in the top of it where something had happened. So now here's my question this morning. How do you know when a tomato is ready to be picked? Should I just be picking the green ones off and bringing them inside and letting them ripen inside? Because there was another red one out there last night, kind of orangish red, but I picked it last night and brought it in the house because I thought, well, I don't want a hole to develop in the top of this tomato like the other ones. So I don't know. Anybody out there who knows what they're doing when it comes to gardening, let me know about this. 740-383-9944. It's very, very strange. I know you could not leave tomatoes out forever, but I did not know that the tomato would get a hole in the top of it if you left it outside too long. I don't even know what causes that, because my tomato plant is not moving particularly fast. Now, I did not fertilize it at all, and there are still a lot of little green tomatoes on it. Now, how long will a tomato plant continue to grow? How long will that continue on? Will that go on into September, into October? Will tomatoes still be being produced? I don't know. If anybody knows, give me a buzz here this morning, or tell me what would have caused the hole in the top of my tomato plant, and how do you know when they're ready to pick? Because I did not think the one that developed the hole in the top was ready to pick, but obviously it was. So give me a buzz here if you have any information on tomato plants, picking those tomato plants, or how long tomatoes will be produced off of this plant. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Or if you have anything to say about the vaccine or anything beyond that, give me a buzz as well. Go ahead, caller.
I always pick mine when they start turning a little orange. Then I'll take them inside and let them finish turning red.
Now, what is that hole that develops in the top of them?
Well, it could be a worm.
Well, I guess it could be.
See, my theory is that nothing bothers them when they're green because they all blend in with the leaves. But the varmints, the insects, what have you, they can't see them. As soon as they start turning red, they stand out like a sore thumb. And that's when they get attacked by the insects, the aphids, and what have you.
But I know a lot of people like the green tomatoes, so when the tomato...
Oh, yeah.
How do you know when a tomato is fully grown, if it's green?
That's a good question. Well, they're fully developed you can see when they. In fact, I've got some yellow tomatoes. They'll go from green to white before they become yellow. And then the ones that turn red, they get almost like a chartreuse color before they turn red. They'll be real green, and then they'll get a lighter green, and then they turn red. But as far as how long do they grow, I have them grown clear up into October and November, depending on the weather, as long as you don't get a hard frost. That's what kills it.
Well, see, this is what is confusing me, because I know a lot of people eat the green tomatoes, but I was nervous about picking a green tomato because I did not know if it was at the stage where I could do that. Now, if I bring a green tomato inside, is it going to continue to ripen? Do I have to put it in the sunlight? How does that all work?
Well, if you want to eat green tomatoes, then you pick them and you fry them up. If you want them to ripen, just leave them on the vine and let them ripen.
But now, if I bring a green tomato inside, will it continue to ripen?
It will, but it's going to take quite a while. Because what happens is that tomato quits getting nourishment, and that's what causes it to turn color. It does it naturally. It gets fed so long to grow, and then the plant shuts off the nourishment, and then that's when it turns red.
But we really don't know.
I sent you a picture of that my plants.
Right.
And they're even more so now. It's a monster plant.
Well, I'm just curious that is there a particular size that a tomato has to be when it's green to pick it off?
Well, not necessarily, because I've got cherry tomatoes, and some are the size of a little peewee marble, and some are almost the size of what we used to call what was the big marble? I can't think what you call it now, but they come in all different sizes. Some will be larger than others.
So as soon as a tomato starts to turn orange, you should really pick it off the vine.
Well, yeah, kind of a between orange and red. After you've grown them a while, you learn to look at them. You look at them, those are ready. So then you take them. And then I set them in my shorter room and let them finish ripening there, where they get a little bit of, like a hothouse atmosphere, where it's warm in there, but not super hot.
Well,
you're talking about fertilizing. I use a Miracle-Gro Organic which is phosphorus, protein, calcium, and nitrogen. And it's all organic. There's no pesticides or anything in it. And mine just grow like crazy. In fact, well, you've seen the picture that I sent you.
I'm thinking I might fertilize, but it seems to be growing okay. I have like two or three that are red, and then a lot of the little ones are still, there's still a lot of little ones that are green.
Well, I start out when I put them in the ground, I dig my hole, wet it good, put half a teaspoon of fertilizer in the hole when I plant it. And then throughout the season, the same day every week, I'll fertilize the soil and then water it and let it go into the soil, and it goes to the plant naturally. And I do that all summer long. That's religiously.
Now, how long how long does it, when you fertilize, how long does it take before the tomatoes start to produce?
Well, they normally, it's 50 to 70 days to maturity. And at the end of 30 days, you'll start to see some of them come on. You'll see the blossoms, and then the blossoms will open up, and then you'll see the tomatoes come on.
Well,
I've got scads on mine.
Well, you know, it's definitely an interesting thing to do, but I...
Oh, it is. It is.
Yeah.
And it organizes you. I got to get that. I got to water at the same time every day. I water 2 to 3 times a day, depending on the heat. Like now when it's 80-some degrees, I water first thing in the morning, and then late afternoon when the sun's going down, I water again, and then I'll give it a light coating at night and let the water soak into the soil. But I don't water the plant, I water the ground.
Now, can you overwater?
Yeah. If you overwater, then your leaves will start turning brown.
But 3 times a day seems to be okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
But don't water the plant, water the soil.
Yeah, the soil under it.
Yeah, they claim if you water a plant at night, that'll cause the bugs to come to the plant and they'll eat the leaves.
Huh.
I had squirrels come up, and you know, when the tomato starts turning red, I didn't get to it right away, and they just take a bite out of it and then drop it on the ground. It makes me mad.
Well, I know, like I said, I know it's an interesting process, and hopefully...
Oh, it is. It's yeah. Fun. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to do in the summer, and we'll see how it goes, but I was just surprised that tomato was damaged, and it was a weird-looking, it wasn't exactly a hole, I guess, maybe I'm saying that wrong. It looked like a depression in the top of the tomato, in just one little area. It just looked like the tomato had depressed.
We'll break through the skin, and then it'll look like the tomato's damaged.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yep.
So
yeah, there's all kind of predators out there trying to get your
hopefully the rest of them go well. But thanks for calling.
When you encounter a tomato worm, that'll be excitement because they're fluorescent green and it looks ugly.
Now, have you ever cut into a tomato and seen one of these worms in them?
Oh yeah.
They'll be in there rolling around.
Yeah, I haven't encountered them any of that I've grown, but I've had some tomatoes where you cut into it and there's a worm in there.
And there it is.
Now they say that happens when that worm is on the blossom and he grows right inside the tomato and he feeds on that tomato. So
it's interesting.
It's interesting. I'll have to send you another picture of mine. It's a monster plant now.
Yeah, you have to give me an update.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Tomatoes, Vegetation is the category here this morning. Does anybody have anything to say? 28 and a half minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you make of this whole tomato thing? I guess I should not be so surprised and shocked by this, but because this is the first year I've ever done this with tomatoes, it's interesting to me how you've got to do these things just right. You've got to catch them just at the right time. You've almost got to look at these tomatoes every single day to see what's going on. Now, Angie spotted it right away, that the top of this tomato had been damaged. I didn't even know. I guess I was overlooking that. But the other tomato, the one that's just a little orange, now, it looks okay. It looks like it will survive. Oh, I know one thing I wanted to bring up today. When I was over in Bucyrus this past weekend for the Bratwurst Festival, I took a trip over to Aw Miller Park. Now, how many have ever been over to Aw Miller Park in Bucyrus? That is one of the nicest parks I have ever seen. And it's open to the public, just a regular park. It's got an area over there, kind of like Project Playground. It's got a big baseball diamond. It's got nice public restrooms. It's got a bridge that you can walk over. And it's also got an area where there's a stream of water that you can drive your car through. Picnic tables, shelter houses, very nice shelter houses, all kinds of things like that. It's just a very nice park. Aw Miller Park over in Bucyrus. Has anybody ever taken a trip over there and driven through Aw Miller Park? Very, very nice place. Or are there any places in your mind in this area that are fun to go to like that? Little places like Aw Miller Park, I don't think get a whole lot of attention unless something's going on there, but give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. 31 minutes past the hour here on this Tuesday morning. Very hot Tuesday morning. Oh, I just got another picture here of the tomato plants. Let me take a look over here. Well, they're getting big. They're getting awfully big there, which is good on a number of levels. See, I don't have the height and the growth like that, but it's doing okay. Let's put it that way. I think it's doing okay at this particular point. Now, here's a question I have. I have not driven out there yet, but does anybody know what the old shelter houses are being used for at Sawyer Ludwig Park? I thought about taking a drive out there this past weekend. Maybe I'll do it this weekend. But I know years ago, the Lions Club were having their meetings out in those shelter houses, and then they closed them because I think there was something wrong with the plumbing or the building structure. I don't remember exactly what was said, but I know the Lions Club had to move out of their shelter house out there. Are the shelter houses still out in Sawyer Ludwig Park? Uh-oh, heard a horn out there. I don't know who that was. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know anything about the shelter houses out in Sawyer Ludwig Park? That's just a park I don't visit very often, and I know there used to be a lot of t-ball and baseball and stuff that went on out there. I don't even know if that still goes on at Sawyer Ludwig Park. I'll tell you, my main memory of Sawyer Ludwig Park was they had this slide. Big, wide slide that you used to go down that was completely made up of rollers. You know, you'd go down the slide, and it was just completely rollers, rolling bars. And I always thought if somebody's clothes or somebody's fingers would ever go down in those rollers, that's not going to be a good thing. Now, do they still have that slide out there? I don't think they do. I think the last time I was out there, that slide was gone. But does anybody remember the slide with all of the rollers that was out in Sawyer Ludwig Park? Or does anybody know what they're doing with the shelter houses out there? Has anybody been in one of those recently? Give me a buzz here, 33 and a half minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a call. Also, I had a conversation this past weekend. Is the Sawyer Sanitarium still around? Yeah, the building where the Sawyer Sanitarium was. Now, that's where Florence Harding died, was in the Sawyer Sanitarium. Is the building still there? Or where exactly was the building? Because to be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure the exact coordinates on where the building was. I can't imagine that they would tear down the building, knowing that that was the place that the former First Lady died in, and also where she lived when she came back to Marion after the White House. You know, she did not live over on Mount Vernon Avenue at the Harding home. She lived at the Sawyer Sanitarium, which is also where she died. So is that building still there? Go ahead, caller.
The building you're talking about is the one that the Lions were in.
That was the sanitarium?
Yep, yep.
Now, that's not a very big building.
Final days. Yeah, it's not very big.
No.
The reason we got out of there is it needed a new roof. It needed a new furnace. It was going to need about $10,000 worth of repairs, and the Lions Club did not have that.
Now, did the Lions Club...
The ironic thing is, this is a building that the Lions Club didn't own, but we paid property tax on it. Now, figure that one out.
Now, wait, say that the Lions Club paid property tax, but they did not own the building.
We paid $1 a year for the use of that building, and they were charging us property tax.
Now,
it never made any sense to me, so...
But now, why were you responsible for the repairs?
Well, that was the agreement. We paid $1. We didn't pay rent or anything. We paid $1 for the use of the building. And then it was up to us to keep new carpet in it and to keep the plumbing up, and keep the pay the utility bills and all that.
Now, who owned those buildings?
City of Marion.
The city owned, not the county.
The city.
Now, so there were a lot of them out there, a lot of those little cottages out there. Now, So the sanitarium was not a building, it was several buildings.
Yeah. It was a conglomerate of buildings.
So where was
the... There's only two buildings left. The one that the Lions were in, and I think the other one was the boaters. Can't think what they're called. The group of guys that would go boating, they would teach people how to go boating. I can't think what they were called now. I think that's the only two buildings that are left.
Now, was this did you guys decide to leave, or did they tell you you had to leave?
Oh, no, we decided to leave.
Because there was no heat.
And the only money that we could use for the building was come through dues. And when I joined the Lions in 1990, we had over 100 members. And to the point where we were forced to leave there was that we were down to about 30 members. And that was about enough to take care of utilities, and that was it.
Now, how do you know...
donations for anything.
How did you know that the one you were in was the one Florence Harding was in?
Well, they told us.
Now, I don't mean to doubt the city.
After we got out of there, then the city was going to renovate that building because that was the building that she was in. But when they seen that what it was going to cost to do it, they decided no, it's not worth it.
But there's no plaque or anything. There's no plaque or anything inside there.
No.
Now I'm curious. I'm curious how they know that that's the one she was in.
I don't know. That's what we were always told, that was her final resting place.
I don't know. That seems odd to me. But because there were so many cottages out there. Well, where was the main part where Dr. Sawyer was?
I don't know.
So what are they doing with those two buildings now out there?
They're just sitting empty.
Because there's...
Doing nothing with them.
So they can't rent those anymore at this point?
No, they're not fit to rent.
Huh. Well, I know for a long time people rented them for parties and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a losing proposition, too. Because people would damage them, and then you couldn't get them to pay restitution on them. So then you just had to dig deeper and make your repairs. And they rip up. We had one time we had put in brand new carpet and we ran it at one time, and somehow or other they ripped the carpet. So that was not a good situation.
So the Lions Club rented that building.
Yep. Yeah, that's where the Marin Evening Lions chartered there in 1962. That was their home.
Well, that's all interesting because I always wondered if it was still there, and it's surprising to me that. So why didn't they go in and renovate it? Because it was her final house.
Well, it's going to cost too much money.
So the city doesn't have the money for that either.
Yeah, they just decided you're going to renovate it to make it a shrine. So you know. They just decided that, plus like a lot of the buildings around Marion, is, you know, they've gotten disrepair and people would, at one time they weren't going to save the palace, but there was a group got behind it and raised funds and saved the palace. There have been several other buildings, like the old Marion Hotel, it never got saved, and the old jail on State Street, it never got saved. They just tore it down and moved on.
Well, I don't know.
The Hyatt Theater was another one. They tried to renovate the Hyatt Theater, and it needed too much.
Well, what happened years ago where the Elks were meeting, and I don't know if they still meet over there or not, but a few years ago there was this big front page article about that they found the old theater in there and the curtains were still hanging up and some of the old chairs were in there. And
that's
so
belonging to the Elks and TPAAA, the volunteer organization, they're the ones that were going to renovate it, and they were going to do stage shows that didn't require as much audience, so it would take some of the pressure off the palace. But they couldn't get the funds, and they just decided against it. So it's still set empty there.
Now with the May Pavilion, I mean, it doesn't seem to me like the palace is booked a whole lot.
Well, not right now, not since COVID.
Well, I mean, even when they were running shows, if you look at their calendar, I mean, the main room is not booked very often, and the May Pavilion's not booked very often.
They had a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff you never heard about. That was, you know, weddings and receptions and different things like that happened there.
That's not a good sign if the public doesn't know about it.
Well, would you want to know about somebody's wedding you didn't know?
Well, no, but I'm just, you would think when people put in a wedding announcement in the paper, which a lot of people still do that, they say, well, the reception will be held at the May Pavilion, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I just never saw a whole lot of shows there. When you would look at the palace schedule, I mean, they did some of those improv shows there. And
look at our newspaper. What do you see in that newspaper? Not much.
Well, that's true, but I think that's because of lack of reporters. I don't know that that's because of lack of trying.
That's true, but just like an obituary, it costs you a small fortune for an obituary. And people don't put them in.
Well, not on this station. It's free.
Well, I know that. I know that, but it's... just for a few lines, it costs you like $40 or $50 in the newspaper, and people just don't want to pay it.
Well, I understand that. I guess what I'm just saying is I can't... See, I think these ideas are good ideas at the time, and I would love to see that theater renovated over at the Elks, but I don't... See, here's what I think
there
would
you
happen.
Go.
What?
If Charlie was still around, he would do it.
Well, he was around when that thing was in the paper. It's just a big, big project. It's a mess in there because it's electrical issues and all kinds of things. And the money that would have to be put, I mean, you would have to have somebody just buy it as a private place. You could not do it as a charity. That would be very difficult.
That's true. Well, that's how the palace runs.
As a charity?
Yeah,
but the palace gets a lot of people who buy season memberships. Until this place was renovated, like I know when the palace was saved, I know a couple of the people who dumped the money into it, and I don't know if we have that type of people, those type of people who were just big philanthropic.
We had back then.
Huh?
We don't have the manufacturing that we had back then.
No, but you know a lot of those people were lawyers.
And Wyandotte and those places, they put a lot of money, made pledges toward that endeavor at the time. And you don't have that anymore.
Well, I just... I mean, I remember seeing pictures of the palace when it wasn't being used, and it was not used for a long period of time. It was only a few years that it was running empty. And but this thing has been empty for 40 years.
Yeah, 40 to 50 years,
yeah.
I remember going there for movies when I was a kid.
Well, and it's also very, very old. And I don't know how it became in that type of disrepair. I was confused.
It was beautiful inside at the time.
What's that?
It was beautiful inside when it was up and running.
Well, that's what I mean.
The architecture is very nice.
I know the Elks were using it for storage. I think they said that in that article that was out a few years ago. But I don't know why all the chairs got damaged and knocked over and all the it was a big cleaning mess. And it would be fun to do something with it, but you could not do it as a charitable situation. I think number one, because it's tied in with the Elks, and I don't know if the Elks would want to get rid of it. I think you probably have to rent the space from them. And number two,
like I say, that CP Triple A, they run that the flea market up at the old fire station on Mark Street, and they were using those funds to try and renovate it. But it took more than what they could raise, so they dropped it.
That's interesting.
All righty.
Well, thanks
for
calling.
My 2 cents.
Well, I enjoy hearing about it. Thank you.
All right.
Does anybody else know anything about the Sawyer Sanitarium? Was the one the Lions were in? Was that the final home of Florence Harding? I don't know. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Let me know what you think, know, remember, whatever. And it's interesting that those buildings are not being used for any kind of parties or gatherings anymore. A lot of people used to have their parties and gatherings out there, and I guess that's all gone by the wayside at this particular point. But I guess that's the way it goes. Does anybody remember the old slide? That was something. Okay, here we go. Go ahead, caller.
I have a question.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Out on Bell Fountain Avenue, there's this great big huge house that ended up being burned. Did it have to do with the Sawyer Sanitarium?
It's out. You say there's a house on Bell Fountain Avenue that...
There used to be.
Used to be. And it got burned.
Yeah, it was arson. Did it have to do with Sawyer Sanitarium?
You know, I don't know. Now, where on Bell Fountain Avenue was it?
It was on the same side as the fire station down there in the trees before you get to that old bank building.
Now, what would be the connection? Do you know why there was a connection thought of between the two?
I'm thinking it had to do with a doctor living there or something.
Well, maybe that was Dr. Sawyer's house. I don't know. But maybe that was it. Because I don't think he lived at the sanitarium. I don't know. Maybe one of the listeners knows.
Let's see what we can... It was a two-story house, and it said empty for a while, and then somebody set it on fire, and that was it.
Well, let's see what we can figure out. Maybe one of the listeners knows.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Does anybody know the connection between a house on Bellefontaine Avenue that I guess was burned down or possibly caught on fire? I'm not sure which it would have been. That was a connection with the Sawyer Sanitarium? I had not heard of that. If there is, let us know. Does anybody know anything about that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And apparently the two shelter houses are still out there at the Sawyer Ludwig Park that were part of the Sawyer Sanitarium. But I guess not in use at this point because of repairs that need to be made at this particular point. All right, let's go back to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was Dr. Sawyer's home out there, and then he owned all of that where the sanitarium is, where the sanitarium was. And so, yeah, that was, and then it was burnt. I mean, it started with arson, I believe, and was burnt down, but that was where Dr. Sawyer lived. And they said at a time that President Harding would go out there and play cards with him in that house.
So it just burned down. It was not burnt down.
I think it was arson. I think somebody started it, set it on fire, and then, thank God, they went ahead and tore it down and cleaned it up. They didn't just leave it stand there like lots of these around town.
Now, have you ever heard anything about the building that the Lions were in being Florence Harding's last house?
Oh, I suppose you could make up all kinds of stories about it. No, I don't know. I know that she died, that she was out there when she died. And, you know, it must have been a big operation when it was, because you hear people that not are living now, but they had mothers or aunts or somebody else that worked out there at sanitary. I mean, there was a lot of, they must have hired a lot of people to be nurses aides or whatever to the people that was out there. But there was a lot of people that, and probably there's some older people now that had relatives, and they may have worked there, but there was a lot of people worked out there at the sanitarium. And so it must have been a pretty big operation, and I know that whole park, he owned all that whole park, and so that was the backside of where that house is.
Well, it's interesting because the Sawyer Ludwig Park, nobody ever talks about that park anymore, and even until, I'm going to say the early 2000s, it was still a very used place. The Lions Club met out there. People used to rent those halls. They would have t-ball and softball games out there on the field. I don't know if any of that goes on out there anymore.
I think there's still ball games out there. I mean, they got nice ballparks out there. And nice, and they've redone some of the playground equipment out there, and they've got that, whatever they call that, golf, you know, when you just throw it at a pole.
Oh, yeah, the frisbee golf.
Frisbee golf. They got a thing out there with that, and whoever, they take good care of it. I mean, it's nice and clean out there, and I know there's several ball diamonds out there, so that is being used. So it's busier than you think.
Well, I guess I'm being told now that she stayed at Rose Cottage, and then it was, let's see, this is the information. She stayed at Rose Cottage, it said, which is, I guess, the Facebook page, and then Pines Cottage. So I guess she was not in one the entire time. So I wonder if those names are still out there on those cottages.
I don't know. That would be an adventure for you to do, wander out there and look.
Well, I've been meaning to go out there, so that's one of those things. Maybe I'll even do it tonight. It's going to be a bazillion degrees, so maybe it's time to just sit in an air-conditioned car.
Drive around. But no, is that a city park?
See, See, that's what I didn't understand, because that's not in the city limits, is it?
I think that the city limits might be just beyond where Barks Road is, where Barks Road comes out there. I think the city limits is just south of that, but I'm not sure.
You know, it's hard to believe, because I've been in that one that the Lions Club was in, that was her final home. This former first, and she was the former first lady at that point, that, and we've also all been to the home over here, that I know that people were living in the home and that they were renting it or something to that degree, but she had some money. It's hard for me to believe that she just went out there and stayed in.
Well, I think it was because Dr. Sawyer was her doctor, and so that was his facilities, and that's the reason she ended up there.
What's it? But I know being first lady was not thought of quite like it is today.
In no way, form.
Right,
no.
Right. But being out there, you know, to know, and I'm sure everybody did that, because they used to ask her to speak at dedications and things.
Yeah.
That she, the former first lady of the United States, was living out at this cottage, which is not extravagant by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Out at the park. I don't know. I don't think that they had Secret Service. I don't think that happened
Probably
until
not.
Kennedy was shot. So, you know, that people would be able to go out and just get that close to her. That's interesting to me.
And like I said, apparently whatever Dr. Sawyer said, because supposedly he's the one that had kept her alive all these years, his medication part thing because of her kidney problem. But yeah, I don't know about that. And you was talking about people like restoring the palace and so forth like that. Why don't we do that now? Is that because everybody, when they retire and they have two houses, one in one in Florida, and they're just there for somebody to take care of them? They're not given back, is what I'm saying.
Well, it's interesting, because, I mean, I can name the people because they're all gone now, but
yeah,
the people who really did give money for things like that, I'll miss somebody, but were the George Browns, Oliver Hamiltons, Madge Guthries, Trella Romines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, those were the people, and I know I'm forgetting them, but those were people, you see their names around town because they did stuff like that.
Yes.
Thurman Matthews did a lot of that. And it's interesting that those people don't seem to exist. Now, you got to have the money, and they did, Dr. May. Now, he's still around, but look what he gave to make the May Pavilion happen.
Well, look at WOPODs. Yeah, how did those people accumulate kind of money? I mean, any of them. How did they, I know that WOPOD was big at the telephone company, but he didn't strike gold someplace. How did you come up with, and I don't think they had any kids. Maybe that's why. I'm not sure about that.
That could be, and a lot of people in those days invested in land and things like that, and the land became very popular, and a lot of people came in and paid a lot of money to get that land or to get that house, or you know, there was a boom time in Marion after President Harding where things were going very solid around here.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of many places, but people's pride was in their home then.
Well, it was, and I also...
And their home was the whole town, you know, like supporting their churches and supporting the whatever. It wasn't, you know, well, we'll take our money and we'll go to Florida or Arizona or whatever. And so it's just different, you know. I've earned my money, and I'm going to spend it how I want to, and not necessarily locally.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could see some more. But you know what's interesting? There are some people who do have money now, but it seems like they put it into business.
Right.
Now, nothing wrong with that, but, you know, business reaps a return for them. What these people did from the previous generation, they just gave it to give it.
Back
I don't think
town.
They ever saw a return.
Yeah, they just, because they had pride in their town.
Yeah, it was really that thing. Well, it's interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, there's the story on Florence Harding, but I don't know if those cottages out at Sawyer Ludwig Park are still named. But apparently she lived in Rose Cottage and then Pines Cottage. So she was not just in one place. Now, she's not buried out there. Her final resting place is over at the Harding Memorial, obviously next to the president. But I don't know if she died in Pines Cottage or Rose Cottage, or if she was taken to the hospital at that time. I don't know how that all shook out when she died. But it'd be interesting to know. Does anybody know if those cottages still have their names on them? Because apparently it's Rose Cottage and Pines Cottage. Those would be the cottages that Mrs. Harding was in when she returned from Washington to Marion. But beyond that, I don't know. 740-383-9944, 59 and a half minutes past the hour here on this very muggy, warm day. And apparently they're all going to be muggy and warm this week, so there is no escaping any of it. You're just going to have to deal with it. Streaming all over the world here, WWGH Radio at WWGH1071.com. Download the free TuneIn app, absolutely free, and listen on any mobile device. Back in 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and my wife said something funny, and I laughed.